10 o'clock hour of Wildey and Touch. Such an appropriate Matt Carney song.
Sooner or later.
Because we sooner or later get to the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll do that now.
Hey, so quick question with Bulaga yesterday. How was your guys' clock management? Was it better than when with me? Or?
Yeah, it was better, although the first hour we had a lot to get to from the game. I have to think you had some FOMO. Like, if they'd have gotten beat 24-10 and Malik Willis had been terrible, yeah, then you're not FOMO-y. But it was a really cool game to talk about.
For sure. But I get to do it today. I didn't have
not so far. We spent a half hour on your dinner plans in Madison.
Well, that's on Evco. But it was just such a, you know, I think Packer fans, obviously, we see this great quarterback play. We have had that for so long, and it's just we're so accustomed to it that I think we're a little jaded, if I'm being honest.
Spoiled.
I think for sure. And this, like last year was such a different mentality because we weren't the kings. We weren't everybody's gunning for us. It was, we don't know. That's back to being, we're back to being in that, you know, we're one of the favorites. And when you get an opportunity to showcase that it's more than just about one guy, which always with Favre and with Rodgers, it was always, well, this guy will take you. You know, if you struggle, he'll pull you up from the ashes.
Right.
And I think just from a player standpoint and coaches, it is very refreshing and rewarding when you can showcase it's more than just about that one guy. Even though we all account and say, we know this dude is important. We know. But when you can do this in this scenario, it is just, it's like the SEC slogan. It just means a little more. And I think that's why you're seeing that this week.
All right, you hate that slogan, by the way.
No, I love making fun of it.
It's also, yes, it doesn't mean a little more. It just means more.
It just means more.
Can you imagine the slogan
being a smidge more?
Mississippi versus Ole Miss rivalry weekend. It just means a little more.
Mississippi's playing itself? Oh, that's interesting. Since we're gonna sit here and nitpick every blank and word that we're saying, you just had Mississippi playing Ole Miss, which is the same two teams.
You know what? That's fair. I'm mentally checked out.
Okay, you're already got the car warmed up.
God, what a pro. He's
already
on the slide.
The car warmed up, and you're heading east on 94. All right, we get it.
Couple of text messages on the Milwaukee talk and text line, which I have access to and is distracting me. Matt makes a reference to trading places like, I feel like I did last week and no one got it. But he said he was picturing Scalzo outside watching Evan Tausch and the rest of the crew eating dinner like Lewis Winthrop. And I made that reference last week, and I felt like nobody got it.
Well, you jam it in there instead of having it stand on its own. You do that little subliminal needle.
Your trivia question, the starting quarterback in the franchise's 400th win was Bart Starr, the 800th win.
Yeah.
Was Malik Willis.
Okay. I was off by 400 wins. Sue me.
You're only off by 60 years, but you nailed it.
You'll get it right for the 1,200.
I did think when I saw the 400, I was like, dang, it feels like Favre had like 100 some wins himself.
There were some tough years in there. Yeah, some tough really years.
Some really bad years there. 800th win. That's the trivia question.
All right, so before Jesse, who has already checked out, leaves us, I wanted to get to this because there's a lot of other things that I also want to get to, and that is, what now? And I joked about it, but the idea of Matt LaFleur, and again, Jesse, I don't know if you have our back and forth, but that's basically what I said, is great, way to go. Now what? Like, because Tausch, I just don't see a Titans defense, which is a pretty good defense. Like, their defense is not their problem. Will Levis appears to be their problem, which has to be a good feeling for Malik Willis. But I don't see them not going into the game saying, we cannot allow the same thing to happen to us that the Colts allowed to happen to them. So how do you design a game plan that is going to keep Malik Willis from having to do too much heavy lifting and still be able to not have, you know, still be able to run the football and still be able to win the football game?
It's pretty simple. You execute the same plan. You mix it up and you do some different things motion-wise. You're not going to just But you're going to stick to your – I hate to break this to you guys. And, Jesse, get ready to sound graph this. The Green Bay Packers are a running football team. It is all about the run. I believe it is the number one run offense in the league. Am I right on
that? They ran for 261 yards in a game. Of course
it is. Am I right on it? This is a run-first football team. We have not had that probably since 03. That's probably the last time we've been a run-first football team. And will Tennessee try and stop it? Yeah, you know what? Try as hard as you may, that doesn't mean you're going to do it. And if you're going to leave one-on-one options on the edge with C-Watt and with Dobbs, did you see how – oh, your mic broke. Did you see how Dobbs made a play on one-on-one? You're not throwing picks with one-on-one coverage. You throw it out there and let your guy go get it. So you're going to have to loosen some stuff up. I would assume that Tennessee will put a five-man front or do more stuff to stop the run. That doesn't mean you're going to stop it, because you do that, and if you block it up, that's when you get big boy runs, because you're selling out to stop it at the line of scrimmage. So it might not be as pretty. It might not look like it did in the first half, but this is what this team is, and especially with Malik Willis. So you understand how the flow of the game is going to go, and you're going to lean on Jeff Hafley in this defense, because Tennessee's offense isn't very good. You're not playing the Philadelphia Eagles. You're not playing San Fran. You're not playing teams with some, you know, Kansas City with a really good quarterback or an explosive offense that you know you need to score 25 points. I would bet that Green Bay is probably looking to say, if we get to 20, we're winning. How are we going to get to 20? Defense will probably set you up with a short field. I look at this game as saying, let's just and first of all, we don't even know if Jordan Love is going to play. You know, he was close last week. I know you fought against that. So all of this is how you factor it in. I'm not looking at trying to reinvent the wheel. Like, you have to come up with some different schemes, but we saw that last week, and he did triple options, you know, different reverse fake, reverse jet sweeps, swing passes, bubble screens. This is your team. When you have Malik Willis, this is what you are. Play to it. That would be what I would tell you.
The Tennessee Titans are, as Evan Cohen had mentioned, 0-2, losing by the same score both to the Bears on the road and to the Jets at home, 24-17. Will Levis has thrown three picks against two touchdowns in his first two games.
They had a punt blocked in both games, too.
He's going to get his lunch handed. He's going to get his lunch handed to him, and it'll be mayo on the side like you like it. That he is going to get his lunch handed to him down at 10. Because my guess, there's going to be a lot of green and gold down there now. And for everybody, this is – I don't know if you guys hit on the Colts fans in the stadium on Sunday.
We did.
So somebody called into the postgame show, and I wish I had remembered his name. His quote was, how can we sit here from Packer fan standpoint and get after people about selling their tickets when we take such great pride in going to other stadiums and taking it over? People want to come to Lambeau, and people want to make some money back on these season tickets. I'm not going to get mad about a September game with a little bit of blue and white sprinkled through the crowd. I'm not. Now, if it's in the playoffs, I'll get mad. But I don't have a problem with a little sprinklage. I don't.
Well, but
because I guarantee this.
But you and I are different.
What do you mean?
Well, you and I have said that from the very beginning, and we've talked about the idea of paying off some of your tickets because it's expensive for a regular fan who has season tickets. Did you have people calling the postgame show also complaining about how much Colts blue there was?
No, it was more social media. It was more social media complaining about this, and I don't have a problem at all. We can't, as fans, complain when we love. And I told the story, you know, when you go down to Tampa and you're beating them, and half the, you know, the lower bowl gets filled in with Packer fans screaming "Go Pack, go!" as you're thumping the Buccaneers. That's awesome. So I can't sit here and say I want people to want to come to Lambeau. I don't have a problem with it. I don't love when it's purple in the middle of the season or at the end of a season but I don't have a problem with it because you can't have it both ways. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Okay. I just was curious because Sparky in Sussex was at the game. He mentioned that they ran out of water.
I don't like that. You got to stay hydrated.
Yeah, just as Josh Myers. And then the idea that there were a lot of Colts fans, again, if you have to pay what fans have to pay, like normal people, not people who have like a big block of tickets that they always sell anyway, the question is, how can you fault them for that? If you were going to sell tickets, by the way, to a game, a week two game in September when people have stuff going on and you're playing an AFC team,
yeah,
I don't have any problem with that.
Here's the deal. Again, playoffs, no.
Sure.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Regular season, I don't have problems.
All right, I want to make this segment go as long as possible to prevent Jesse from getting out the door, and so he'll be late for his bucket list slide. But
what were you just talking about before I rudely interrupted you?
I don't remember.
Okay.
What we need to talk about now?
Something LaFleur said.
No, it was something interesting, and I wanted you to go back to it. But it, I just know how much of a, I guess. It's something that fans are very passionate about because nobody wants Lambeau to get overtaken. But I just want to remind people, just like Alabama had a very good contingent of fans in town because
they wanted a good day.
And we want to show off our cities. We as Wisconsinites love having people come in and say, we're great fans. We're hospitable. We want you to spend your money here. We want you to, you know, throw the business, like, we love being that too. And you can't do that if you don't sell tickets to them. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I get your drift. I also know that we're very proud of not only our partnership with Johnson & Sons Paving, but the grinding that you did during your one-day stint on their team.
Yeah, get ready for spring now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes, cracked curbs, drainage issues. If those things are bad now, you better call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free. You don't have any obligations. It's a no obligations quote, which is my favorite kind of quote, and walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work needed by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping or buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now and save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com. I'll tell you what, doing this asphalt, I have not made the same faux pas with Tucker Ashcraft that I did early in the season.
And, Nordy and I were driving to do the post game on Saturday, listening to you and LePe call the third quarter, and you very clear enunciated Ashcraft.
Yeah, I actually into the student radio folks at the game. And they said, we heard you say that, and we've done that too. So they felt my pain on that.
Wow. Well, they have no better role model to follow than Mark Tauscher. All right, Jesse, are you ready to hit the road? You've put in a whole 75-minute shift. Thank you for your service.
Don't worry, I'm working volleyball tonight too, so it's down and back.
So who's producing tomorrow then?
I'm producing tomorrow.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Yeah.
Usually pre and post game volleyball means no jelly.
Easy enough.
The next day.
Here comes Wooly. We're going to the Wooly out of the pen. Here he comes.
Ready to go to work.
All right. Well, I hope Wooly's ready to step in with Power Rankings Tuesday, which we have saved until Jesse left because Jesse loves it so much. Ryan Wollersheim, primetime Wollersheim, takes over for Jesse. Who has to go slide down the slide, and he's going to do that while we continue next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Mark Tauscher here.
We say goodbye to Jesse. We say hello to Ryan Wollersheim.
Why didn't Wooly get to go down and do this? That is my question.
It's amazing how you and I, even when you miss a show or we don't see, we saw each other recently. Are you cleaning up dishes back there?
Yeah, we just made some breakfast burritos and they're fantastic.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
oh, they're really delish.
Good. You're probably not a hot sauce guy, huh?
Since you've had
kids, you had kids, you probably don't eat hot sauce, right? Ooh.
No, I like hot sauce. Actually.
Oh, okay.
Not on my pancakes though. Wooly, help me Help me understand. You must have a button that I wasn't aware of.
I see.
That must be the Jim, Matt, and Molly button choices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are some other ones that you use on Jim, Matt, and Molly? Can you go through the list?
That would not be entertaining.
Like when Tausch went backstage and was pushing all the buttons on Jesse's board.
Yeah, I'm going to do that again.
You should do it with Wooly. We've got to choose from. Wooly, as Tausch took the question right out of my mouth, why didn't you get to go down the slide with Bernie and the crew at AmFam Field?
So I was offered the opportunity, though I actually graciously turned it down as much as
somebody had to work.
Somebody had to work, exactly. And instead of forcing Raleigh Yauch to have to cover for Jesse for maybe the 10th time in the last 2 weeks, I figured I could step in, let Riley go out there and slide down Bernie's slide. As I would say, he is probably a slightly bigger Brewer fan than me. So I felt like it would be more impactful for him. So I wanted to give him a chance.
What a good teammate. Great teammate.
Yep, just cashing those karma coins.
Ooh, karma coins. That's clever. And with good karma brands, you might want to see if you can get kind of the bosses to start some sort of program rewarding kindness from your producers. All right, so are you ready to do the power rankings for Tuesday, even though Jesse had intended to do them before he left?
I am glad to step in here for Jesse on this one, guys. All right, so
Tausch has already given us 31 and 32.
Oh, spoilers. Come on. I mean, that was ready. The Panthers.
Let me tell you something. Anybody that's watching any kind of NFL football has a pretty good idea who the two stinkiest teams are in the NFL.
Yeah, the Giants and the Panthers have been pretty low down. Pretty low down so far this season. But Tausch, I want to know, who do you think is the number one team in this week's
podcast? I know Kansas City is.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one right there. Pretty easy number one.
Number two is probably trickier now. San Fran getting beat. New Orleans is at two?
Ooh. Bold.
New Orleans is incorrect. Still the Buffalo Bills at number two. 2-0.
Sure. Buffalo's fine. I give them credit. They're finding ways to win. So Buffalo's two. New Orleans is three.
New Orleans, not in the top three, Tausch. It's still the 49ers at number three.
No. I'm telling you. I tried telling you all this season's going to be a grind. That their division is going to struggle. They are going to probably find a way to win the division, but it's going to be a grinded out slog. They're not going 14-3, 13-4. They're going to end up with 10, maybe 11 wins and going to be a 3 or 4 seed this year. That is my prediction. I said that earlier. I wanted to be super bold and say that they would not make the playoffs, but there's 7 teams. And San Fran is good enough that they'll grind it, but they're losing guys. Debo. I don't know what Kittle ended up doing.
So did he come back into the game? Debo's
out for a couple weeks.
Locker room. No. You're right. Debo's out. Christian McCaffrey is out. But I thought that Kittle was carted to the locker room, but then came back into the game.
Yeah,
correct,
I don't
if
know.
If I'm remembering that correctly.
I don't know. If you get carted off, you typically should be done for the day. Typically.
Apparently, per the team injury report, he actually was just suffering cramps. And they carted him to the locker room for an IV, they said.
Oh, wow.
He should have puked.
Okay.
Then he's viral.
Could you imagine a fantasy football team and you drafted McCaffrey one and you have a big money investment and they knew he wasn't going to play for the first 6 to 8 weeks? I'd be mad.
Almost like picking Davante Adams for a better choice.
Oh. Maybe. Maybe.
Bless you, Tausch. Bless you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, let's continue on in this week's power rankings. Number four in the rankings, Tausch. Who do you think we got here?
New Orleans.
You are going to keep guessing New Orleans, and you're going to keep being wrong, unfortunately,
all
Tausch.
The way to number nine.
Tell me, hey,
correct.
Boys, tell me who's been more impressive through 2 weeks in this NFL than the New Orleans Saints.
I don't do the power rankings.
I'm not mad at you.
If you're... Well, you seemed kind of irritated with the fact that the Saints are ninth.
Hey,
ninth!
Don't tell me that the Pittsburgh Steelers are ahead of the Saints. Don't tell me that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are not ahead of the Saints.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So you're good there.
Let's see. What other flawed teams that have lost are going to be ahead? Are they going to keep Philadelphia in the top five, even though they gagged last night? I don't know.
Not in the top five. I'll give you that.
Houston All right, help, is
why
four.
Don't you tell me? If Houston's undefeated.
Houston is okay. Number four, yep.
Not a super another, impressive win against the Bears.
Another one-and-one team is at number five. Those would be the Detroit Lions, down from number three.
Let me tell you something. Goff is looking very Goffish. He's very Goffish. They better get back to pound the rock and not let Goff make mistakes. Because if they're going to rely on Goffy to be drop back Goff, they ain't winning the division. If they ain't leaning on their grit and toughness, they ain't winning this division.
The Eagles down one spot to number six after last night's. They should be 2-0. Well, I understand that Saquon Barkley should not drop that pass, but I don't think that pass should be thrown at all. If you're giving them time to be able to go down and score, and that's exactly what Kirk Cousins and the Falcons did. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 2-0, are number seven.
Have they been more impressive than the Saints?
I don't know if they've been more impressive, but they are, and I know Gabe Neitzel was talking about this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every weekday, 7 to 9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. The Buccaneers are better than they're getting credit for. They went from 13th to 7th, and it. I understand that he flamed out in Cleveland. You said it last week. You telling me that the Cleveland Browns wouldn't prefer to have Baker Mayfield than the quarterback they currently have? They're 7th. They're 2-0. The Los Angeles Chargers off to a 2-0 start under Jim Harbaugh. They are 8th. Well, the Saints finally check in at 9th.
They played Carolina, in fairness.
It's like having a bye and getting credit for a win. The Seattle Seahawks, who are 2-0, are 10th. The Minnesota Vikings, who are 2-0, are 11th.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 2-0, are 12th.
And the G&G are 13th.
Here's something that I find. Why are we doing power rankings if this is what we're going to do? Because Jesse loves them is the biggest reason why we do them.
Even when he's not here?
The Baltimore Ravens, who are 0-2, are 13th.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys, who just got run out the gym by the Saints, are 14th. And at 15th are your Green Bay Packers.
So the Packers were at 13 last week after a loss to the Eagles. They win an impressive game with a backup quarterback that's been there 19 days, and they drop two or three spots.
Yes, sir.
So if that happens again, I am going to vote to say power rankings no more, because that's just dumb.
No, that is the exact point I was just trying to make. Like, what are we
doing? That's dumb. This was as impressive of a win from the G&G without their starting quarterback. I like doing this because it gives you a barometer of where teams are. The New Orleans Saints are a top three team in the league. As we sit here, do I think this will be the same in December? No. But they deserve a ton of credit. To go into Dallas and whoop them like they did, kudos to them.
Right.
And I don't even remember who they beat. Maybe they beat Carolina the first week, so I'm probably giving them – is that who they beat is Carolina?
It was the Panthers, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to back off. They don't deserve to be top three. They should be in that 7-8 category. Carolina now counts for less than a half a win when you play them. They're that bad.
Well, how much should the Colts count for as a win then?
Well, the Colts almost beat the Texans. The Colts have some talent.
They do have some talent. But I'll say this, were they unimpressive on Sunday?
If I'm Green Bay, I'll play the Colts every day, all day.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'd rather play Carolina all day, every day. But then the Colts wouldn't be that far behind. No, they'd be very far behind. But after the Panthers, if that makes sense.
It did. It was very sensical. All right.
Do the Panthers win a game this year?
Yeah, they've got Andy Dalton starting now.
I still don't know. if they win a game, it's going to be such a fun battle. That Carolina Giants game, which everybody thinks is going to be Clunk City, Stink City, USA, you are going to have two teams that are going to jockey hard. They're both going to, the players and the coaches will jockey hard to win. But organizationally, you know, both those teams are like, I hope we don't play well this week. I hope we find a way to lose, because whoever loses that game will get the number one overall pick.
Who is there? A
Quinn Ewers from Texas, I think, will be the guy. Or Shador Sanders.
Thank you. Thank you for reading my mind yet again.
And I'm telling you right now, if it's, and I know Arch Manning's not going to be, I think you're going to see somebody pull up Eli Manning if the Panthers, with this organization.
And that
you
owner.
Just saw what they're doing with Bryce Young. I think they're going to try to pull a Manning. If the Panthers end up getting that first overall pick, don't be shocked when they try to pull a Manning and say, no, I don't think so.
There you have it. All right, we'll shift gears again. We got plenty to get to as we roll on. We got Wooly in as our cousin sub for half the day as Jesse heads to AmFam Field to slide down the slide. And if he wants to listen to something on the drive and he doesn't want to listen to our show while we poke fun at him while he's gone, he can tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into the most important stories of the day and the most important things that the Bucks fans want to hear about. Right now, it's about the Olympics and how it felt to be going up against your teammates in the Olympics or teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher, again, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
So among the questions that I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday, everything okay over there?
We're doing
are
great.
Are you seriously in a kitchen?
Yeah.
Clank.
Are you seriously in a studio? Like,
I hate it. I don't want to sit.
House.
I want to stand.
Well, stand up.
I can't because the microphones aren't built in a manner that if you stand up, it works.
Do some squats. Hold a squat. Pop a squat. There you go. Yeah.
So I want to hear from Matt LaFleur.
Hold a lunge. Do a lunge. Hang in. Do a lunge.
Do some lunges. Sure. This is quality entertainment on your YouTube channel. So does my voice change if I go farther back then too? Does that work out that way?
Sounds better.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you. I asked Matt LaFleur because they are rotating guys, right? Well, they're done rotating, it looks like, possibly for a while at right guard because Jordan Morgan appears to have re-injured his shoulder. Although, Tausch, Matt LaFleur told us that he intentionally did not talk to Flea before talking to us, so he didn't have to answer any injury questions.
That's smart. They call that in the political world plausible deniability.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe. Isn't it part of his job to know what the injury situation is with his team?
It is, but you can do it right. Go do it 10 minutes after the.
It was
media
at 3 p.m. I'm guessing he probably was not telling the
you
entire
think
truth there.
Oh, he's lying.
I didn't say he was lying. Just not telling
the whole
truth.
If you're not telling the truth, you're lying. There's no in between. Stop.
No,
mincing.
There's continue. Lies of omission. There's ways.
That's
to,
lying.
You know. Yeah, maybe
it is.
But he was really good on a question that I asked him because they've got this job sharing arrangement going on now at corner where actually Carrington Valentine played more than Eric Stokes in the game on Sunday.
Does Stokes get traded midseason?
That was something we talked about during training camp. And I think that's a conversation we may have moving forward as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is in early November now. It's after Halloween. They moved it back in another week, which I know you like.
But quarterback that you can play then.
They're also rotating some tight ends, although clearly Tucker Kraft is well ahead.
Tuck's
even though they won't say it.
No, he's
well ahead.
Yeah, he's a young Chewy. Jason, I got to tell you, I give you a lot of grief, and a lot of it's deserved.
Not all of it.
I didn't say all of it. I said a lot. You call an old boy Micah Hyde, and then Jair's saying he reminds him of Micah Hyde. Pretty good. And now this whole you calling him Chewy, Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft's, I don't think you're as outlandish as I initially. Now,
Xavier McKinney has two picks in two games.
Well, and Bill Stead on Wisconsin's Morning News on TMJ this morning also is like, maybe I wasn't bold enough when I said he was going to have 10 picks because he's on pace to get 17 interceptions, which.
It's true. He is.
He might get.
So they're doing a lot of.
Hey, you want to know why the Giants? You want to know the Giants are sitting here at 31 in the power rankings? You want to know why?
They let good football players leave their building.
They let good football players that are captains that are in their fourth year that they draft and develop walk out for a compensatory pick.
Yeah,
That's how you build a losing culture. So continue.
Yeah, and get the quarterback.
And by the way. As well. Thank you, Jimmy Sheen, or whatever that guy's name is that's the GM.
Joe Shane. Thank you for your service. All right, I want you to hear this because this is, in my opinion anyway, something different, which doesn't happen very often when you've done this as long as I've done this. But this idea that they are getting guys involved, and the question is not attached to this, but I basically said, look, I get that this is not middle school basketball and everyone gets to play. But they are getting lots of guys opportunities, and I asked Matt LaFleur what that does for his team. Here's what he said.
Absolutely. I think, number one, for guys that aren't playing, it gives them hope that, you know, you keep working, you'll get some snaps. We're not afraid to play a bunch of people. And I think it you talk about player development. Well, the best way to develop is to go out there and play. And the more we're fortunate that we have a lot of players that we got a lot of confidence in to put out there in the game. And, injuries are a harsh reality of our game. And you never know when they're going to come. And so it's nice to be able to at least develop people along the way in case that they need to get more snaps or whatever it might be.
Tausch, is this true? Does this do a lot? And was there any sort of, I'm sorry, I just don't remember you guys doing this very often throughout your decade plus in the league. It's just job sharing is not, unless it's forced by injury, is not generally something teams do.
No, it's not. I think Matt LaFleur is trying to, build this culture of competition and constantly not looking over your shoulder, but knowing I need to perform at a high level or someone else will. And when you continue to go as young as Green Bay, you're going to continue to ask, like, there's nobody saying, let's job share Elgton Jenkins' job, right? Nobody's saying that.
Correct.
It comes back to the young players and just making sure they understand it ain't good enough just to have one good game. You have to continue to do it. And what I'm going to be interested in seeing, I don't know, how many snaps did Edgerrin Cooper play on Sunday?
I can get that for you while you continue to speak.
All right, get that for me. So it is rare, but I think what he's saying is completely accurate. A lot of times guys will not shut it down, but if you know you're a backup and there's no possibility of you going in unless somebody gets hurt, you're probably going to continue to be a professional and work. But when you have that out there that, hey, there's a package that I'm getting into. So if you're a backup O-lineman and you are the jumbo tight end, you're going to be a heck of a lot more engaged than if you're just running scout team and then you may or may not dress on Sunday. What he's trying to get is, especially these guys that there's not some huge gap talent-wise,
mm-hmm.
You said Valentine and Stokes. You want these guys to just keep pushing, and you want to give them opportunities so that they see that their work will be rewarded. Nobody wants to go do a ton of work and put all this in and you never get the payoff. And it is a fine line to balance, but I think that's what Matt LaFleur, especially early in the season, I feel fairly confident when this gets to be November, December, you're going to have your dogs and they're going to be, it's going to be, roles will be clearly established. But with the lack of preseason and the youth of this roster, I still think there's flux that things can be, well, you know, oh, Wilson just played a great game. Does he deserve more reps? I would say yes. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a pass rusher, if Carl Brooks makes some plays, yes. Lucas Van Ness, who should be the Steinhoffer. I saw the analytics firm screwed up yesterday. I don't know if they've looked at, you know, doing some recounting on the voting. Does he deserve more reps?
That's not how it works.
That's I understand, but I'm also I can you know put in
complain,
my
whine.
Exactly. Oh, it's not really whining, it's reality. That's what you look for, and you're trying to keep guys engaged, and doing that is by giving them some reps, throwing them some crumbs, if that's how you want to look at it, to say that they can continue to work.
Seven snaps for Edgerrin Cooper.
So something because
he's not lining up correctly, I do believe.
That's not going to help him then. And he's got to figure that out because I think his talent, you see it. And I don't know where we're at with Quay Walker. I don't know if what the Packers and how they're viewing him right now. But, I mean, thank goodness the Colts decided that JT didn't need to get 25 carries because he may have had 200 yards rushing if they gave him 25 carries.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there was – And this is one of the things about streaming up the field and being aggressive. I told you when the Halfley hire was done and we started kind of figuring out what he was going to be doing, you have to be able to live. If you're going to get up the field and make plays in the backfield, you're going to get gashed sometimes. But it's been a little bit more than I'd like to see early in a season. But I want to continue to see the turnovers being created. I'll take that mm-hmm. if you're going to give up some long runs too.
All right, we'll talk more about the Packers, not just their win over the Colts, but then looking forward. I do want to get to something that Matt LaFleur said about Braden Narveson, their rookie kicker.
Thank you, Prize Picks. Narvy.
You did Narvy?
I Narvied, yeah. 1.5. Blew by it. More.
And if it was 0.5 misses, you would have gotten that correct if you went more on that.
Hey, by the way, Justin Tucker missed a kick this weekend,
he
too.
He did, yeah.
But he's
he
not
wouldn't have missed
44.
It had he been acquired in a trade.
I love that he's wearing 44. Love it.
James Starks. Who else has worn 44?
Matt Snyder.
I remember him. You try to come up with a few more. I'll tell you. I'm in the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios in Gruber Law Offices. One call really is That's All. 414-276-6666 414-276-6666. If you have been injured and you need help, they are there to help you. Go to gruber-law.com to find out more about the firm, about all the great lawyers that are there, and how they are involved in our community. Gruber Law Offices, One Call. That's all. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night.
We'll get to Braden Narveson to kick off the 11 o'clock hour before we get to that. I did have one question for you, Tausch, because you know, and we joke about it, but it's true. I am a veteran player guy, right? I mean, I think there's real value, even though it's a young man's game mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. I am curious for you.
Have you changed your tune at all with that, with this success that what we've been seeing?
I think that there, yes, I think the game has evolved in a way that mm-hmm. it allows younger players to contribute more quickly. And if you draft the right ones, which Goody has done for the most part, although I would certainly like to see Quay Walker play at a higher level, which I think is reasonable. But yes, I think my tune has changed slightly. But I still love the old war horses. Yeah, you know, you late in your career, Cliffy, Jordy Nelson, et cetera, Randall Cobb. I really like Eric Wilson. And I had been telling you about him in training camp, how he was holding off these two draft picks and still getting work as a guy that was supposed to just be a special teams guy.
That was such a good pick. I mean, you talk about just knowing where you need to be, reading the QB's eyes. That was a thing of beauty that he did.
So I guess my point is that while Goody is right that it's a young man's game, there is still a place for veteran players who are able to do it. Because, look, Edgerrin Cooper's not making that play. Tyron Hopper's not making that play, right? I mean, they just don't have the experience to read it properly. So how do you meld that with the youth movement that they have? They're, by average age, they're even younger than they were last year.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a – I think, like, the tie goes to the runner in baseball. I'm tie going to the young guy in football, but that doesn't mean someone that continues to show how productive they are, play them. And you have to continue to keep the meritocracy of a locker room. You can't get caught up in, well, he's my draft pick, I got to play him. And Goody has not done that. To his credit, that's not what he does. Well, is that what he hopes for? Absolutely. But when someone continues to show how productive they're going to be and that they're doing it, you got to play them. And I think Wilson's a great example of that, as far as he just continues to do the right thing over and over again. And coaches, that's what coaches hope for. And making plays like that, it's going to be harder and harder for Halfley to say, well, I got to play these young guys. No, you just saw how big of a play that was. And that's what he's been doing. He is going to be in the right spot and he is productive. You don't jump guys when that's what they're doing. So as long as he's doing that, he's going to continue to earn opportunities. But, I have changed my tune. I've been a young man's game guy for a while, but how the Packers are approaching their, if you're not a really, really good productive player, you get to a certain age, we're going young. And it pains me to say that's what the Packers, and if you think Goody's only getting he's only getting reinforced that this is the right way to do it.
That's exactly what he said after the season, by the way, is that it reinforced his belief that that's the way to go.
It's like me and Goody know what we're talking about.
It's almost like you do. And it's almost, though, like I'm sure Kohler Services has young teammates on their club that are putting in those great bathrooms, but I'm sure they've got some savvy vets that know what they're doing, and that's really valuable.
You know it's going to be professional installation. That is always included. If you need a bath or shower remodel, you need to turn to Kohler Services, family-owned for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer that provides care for life. This month only, $1,000 off and zero interest for 12 months on your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
We discuss the Narvinator, or do you have to make all your kicks to get a nickname like that?
No, I think it's Narv Dog. Narv Dog.
Whatever you want to call him, we'll talk about him next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.